Hello everyone, thank you so much for joining us. At Million Marker, we test levels of bisphenol, phthalates, parabens, and oxybenzones in your body to help you pinpoint which products are associated with high exposure to these toxic chemicals so you can balance your hormone more naturally. Many of these chemicals mimic estrogen, which can disrupt your overall hormone balance. And one way that your hormones can become imbalanced is due to estrogen dominance. We're going to discuss estrogen dominance today with Dr. Daisy Angelo. Dr. Angelo is a doctor and owner of Render Natural Wellness in Arizona. We're going to discuss the sign of estrogen dominance, how your gut health plays a role, and the ways to balance your hormone naturally. So I see you, Dr.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Angelo. Thank you so much for joining us
Thank
today.
you. I'm just having to readjust my camera. Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. It's perfect.
How is everyone doing?
Very
Awesome.
good.
Very good.
Looks
Thank
like
you
you
for
have a
having me
sunny
today.
day.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited. This is such an important topic.
I'm pumped to be here. And I hope, can we ask questions throughout as well?
Yes. We actually got one question before
Okay.
so I'm going to ask you that question.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you became a naturopath doctor.
Yeah, so I come from a family of a lot of doctors, but mostly like the conventional MD type. And I grew up with asthma. And with asthma, most of the conventional medication like steroids or inhaler, okay, sure, they work. But I was never taught, my mother was never taught to avoid. That was a big thing. I always would get asthma attacks the day I would go to the pool. I would swim, and no one told her it was the chlorine in the pool that was causing the asthma attacks. So I would come home every night and she'd panicking, what's going on, my child? Giving me inhaler, giving me steroids, and same thing the next day and again and again. So as I got older, we got to understand the pattern of the day she swims, it's the day we don't sleep. It became a thing that I could not swim anymore. So as I get older, I kind of slowly start to educate myself about, again, my disease, as well as what could I potentially do to not only limit the effect of asthma on my day-to-day basis, but also how to completely reverse it. So nutrition was a big thing. Exercise, I know I was told not to exercise. It's bad for asthma kids to exercise, but I've learned over time that actually exercise can be really like reinforcing to your lungs, to your heart. It's conditioning, right? So as I got older and I realized there's so much nutrition and lifestyle changes can do to reversing health concerns, I became very interested in natural medicine. Yeah.
Yeah, this holistic approach is like so important. I think the more and more we're hearing that, with the traditional medicine, it's always just addressing the symptom, but not really addressing the root cause. But then if you want to
Exactly.
address the root cause, you really need to think about more comprehensively, holistically, and integratively, which is what you mentioned in your bio that
Yes.
you practice integrative men and women's health. So what does integrative health mean?
Yeah, so integrative health may mean different things to different people. For me, as a naturopathic physician, it really means adding something to your current care plan. I'm not here to bulldoze over whatever your MD says. Sometimes patients tell me, I want to do whatever you tell me. Okay, but it's not just alternative. I'm not here to completely replace your medication with an acupuncture, for instance. I'm here to enhance your life with adding new things. I'm here to educate you about what we're doing. I'm here to just complement your current care protocol. That's my approach. I like to choose the best potential herbs on the market, but also the best potential, more gentle, conventional prescription to also support you.
Yeah, I love this. And it's almost like we often talk about it's almost like a East West, like kind of
Yes,
integrative and balancing kind
exactly.
of thing. So where you can take the best from both worlds and then help you achieve your goal.
Exactly. Yes.
So how does integrative health play a role in balancing hormone then?
That's a very important question. A few different things you have to think about. I like to consider the big umbrella of meeting the patients where they're at, right? So I pay attention to their age. That's also important as to what we're going to choose. Maybe herbs might be a little bit gentler for a 16-year-old, but as we get older, we might consider like some bioidentical hormone replacement. So age is going to be number one. I also like to understand how educated are they about their health. Like, how educated about their disease? Some people have done lots of research. They come to me with like lots of notes. I'm like, wow, you know more than I do, you know? So I like to know how educated they are about their condition. Also, how quickly are they wanting to reverse whatever conditions they have, their symptoms? How long have they had it for? If you have had it for a long time, it might take you a little bit to, you know, to feel better. That's going to be a really important thing as well. And how invested are they going to be? Some people just want do the lifestyle changes, you know? So you gotta kind of give them the heavy drugs at times. But more important than anything, it's what the current medical guidelines also say. Because we have to be as safe as we could potentially can. We can't just say, oh, you have high hormones, now let's just give you some herbs. You know, we gotta also see what the guidelines are saying. Are we going to do some weight and wash? Are we going to change lifestyle and then add herbs later? So yeah, I like to kind of think about a lot of different moving pieces.
So I think it's not even just the integrative that the service you offer, it's also personalized because that you're kind of like
Huge.
meeting people at where they are and then figuring out what actually works for them.
Yes, that's the big part of the conversation we have in our practice. Yes.
That is awesome. So before we dive into estrogen dominance, could you tell our viewers like on a high level, what are hormones and then like which hormones are essential for like a woman's health and fertility?
Yes. So hormones are little chemical messengers. We have hormone receptors all over our bodies, even like in our joints. We have estrogen receptors right there. So hormones are chemical messengers, and you have what they call two categories of hormones. You have the steroid hormones and then the non-steroid hormones. The steroid hormones are going to be made from cholesterol. So eat your fats, eat your avocado toast. It's really good for you. You need fats to make your hormones. So cholesterol makes our testosterone, our estrogen, progesterone, cortisol, and a hormone also called DHEA. That's one of your steroid. Then you have your non-steroid hormone, which is your thyroid hormone, your insulin. Maybe some people have heard of insulin or diabetes, for instance, leptin, ghrelin, which are going to help us with hunger management. And like oxytocin is also a wonderful hormone. If you have a pet, a partner, or a baby, that bonding that you have, it's oxytocin. So you have cholesterol hormones and non-cholesterol hormones. And ask about fertility, right? So when it comes to fertility, I would say both the steroids and non-steroid hormones kind of play together because we know that if you have an imbalance in one hormone, likely you have an imbalance in another hormone. So I would say maybe the leptin and ghrelin, maybe a little less, it's more hunger, but like thyroid hormone is so important for fertility. Insulin, if you have high insulin, maybe you're at risk of not ovulating properly. And you know the PCOS women struggle with that as well. If you have too high testosterone, okay, you're breaking out, sure. That also impacts your fertility risk. So all the hormones kind of play together.
Yeah, we also often say it's like your hormone system is kind of like a symphony, like
Yes.
so if you have your keys or instrument out of sync, that you can't really play a nice song. So it's
Exactly.
really important to keep it balanced.
Yes, exactly. That's a really good one. I like that actually.
So what is, since we're talking about estrogen dominance, like what is estrogen dominance? What are some symptoms?
Yeah. Estrogen dominance. I don't like that term actually. I'm gonna say it. I like to look at it as estrogen excess. The reason why I say this is because I know we'll talk about progesterone later, but it's an excess. We make estrogen ourselves from our ovaries, our adrenals, our fat cells, our muscles, and even our brain makes some estrogen, right? Now, the estrogen dominance, sure, that's possible. But because estrogen plays well with progesterone, you have to kind of keep them at a what they call a 10-to-1 ratio. So when you have a 200 of estrogen, you want a 20 of progesterone. when you have 100 of estrogen, you want a 10 of progesterone. That's when you test women who are menstruating in the luteal phase, the second half of your menstrual cycle. So now, the true estrogen dominance, we'll say, is when you have, let's say, healthy progesterone level, but like through the roof estrogen, like in the 400 I've seen in my practice. These women are not happy. They're moody. They're gaining weight. They're super tired. They have no sex drive. Their breasts are super tender. They just feel like the
That's
weight
very
of the world is
uncomfortable for
on them.
them.
That's a true estrogen dominance. So sometimes you can have healthy estrogen, low progesterone, or sometimes you can have healthy progesterone, but just way too much estrogen. That can also happen in men. If any man is watching us, men also can have estrogen dominance too. They can have like enlarged breasts. Some men will say, "I'm like kind of moody lately. I'm crying all the time. I'm depressed." Some women will also say they have even some erectile dysfunction, some difficulty with erections. This is all hormones. So yeah, it's not fun.
So you mentioned that progesterone many, many times, and now we know it's really important. So what does estrogen, why does est how does estrogen dominance kind of hinders progesterone? Like how do the two kind of like work together?
Yeah, so estrogen. Well, we cannot talk about estrogen or hormones. That's talking about the liver. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, I know. But when you have really high estrogen levels, it's going to make a hormone, a protein, I would say, called TBG, thyroid binding globulin. And when that goes really high, it prevents your thyroid hormones from being used. The problem with that is, thyroid hormone and progesterone play really well together. They kind of like go, they're best friends. So when you have high estrogen, not only is it going to impact your liver health, they're also going to impact your thyroid health, which is going to further impact ovulation. And progesterone comes only from ovulation and your adrenals. So if you're a menstruating female and you're bleeding every month, it doesn't necessarily mean you're actually ovulating every month, which is why people are like, "I don't know why I'm infertile. I just have periods every month." Sure, we all bleed, but we don't necessarily all ovulate every month. So that's why it's really important to ovulate, because unless you're pregnant, because progesterone comes from the placenta, common people like the rest of us, we have to ovulate to make progesterone.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned like both men and women can have estrogen dominance. Like, are there any like a long-term problem associated with estrogen dominance?
That's a tough one. Some women will have nothing going on at all. And then you have the occasional women who are going to find themselves maybe struggling with some potential tumors. We know this. Some women are struggling with endometriosis, maybe constantly having breakouts. Sex drive is not great. So it's not so much right now. Okay, now you're estrogen dominant. Well, we need to fix it. It's just later, if it's not addressed, your body wants clean, fresh estrogen every day. And if you're constantly in excess and you're not clearing it out every day, you're really causing your body a lot of harm.
Here's the $1 million question that we got from one of our viewers before the IG live is what can we do to counteract estrogen dominance?
That's a really good one. Counteract it, I would say. It's not so much about counteracting it. It's about clearing it out. So every day we poop. Hopefully, all of you poop every day, at least every 2 days. As we are processing our hormones, we're peeing them and pooping them. So avoidance would be number one, knowing what your body is taking in. Like I know your tests do a lot of BPA, phthalates, all these testing. If you don't know how potentially you're getting those xenoestrogen, those chemicals into your system, then you're likely not going to do much to clear them out. So once you know that you're actually getting them, now movement is really important because our fat cells make estrogen. So women that are a bit heavier will have more estrogen than the thinner women. That's one. Making sure you're ovulating again because it's the whole balance of estrogen and progesterone. Eating an amount of fiber that's going to make you go. Fiber is a really easy way, broccoli, salads every day to kind of clear estrogen out. But a big thing is the liver health. The liver has two phases of detoxification, and some people are just not clearing things out solely because the liver is just bogged down by the chemicals, the toxins, the soaps, the hair products all the time. So you gotta support your liver first to make sure your estrogen is cleared out.
Yeah, it also makes sense not only supporting the liver during the detox process, but also maintaining the status so then you don't get extra and your liver can still like function.
Exactly.
And I mean, and then also you also mentioned like clearing out through poop, that makes the gut also really important that the gut will actually like
Oh,
help,
yes.
you know, clear out these things. So what are some things that we should do to help balance, you know, the gut then in turn to balance hormones?
Yes. Gut health, the diet. Diet is number one. So most of our immune system is going to be in our gut. If you look at the balance of hormones and how gut health is so important, it's because of two things: liver health and just all the little bacteria in your gut. Your liver is going to take all the toxins you take in, trying to neutralize them and activate them and clear them out through pee and poop. Your gut also is going to be doing the same thing. If you're someone that struggles like a lot of constipation, bloating, you have been told you have SIBO or dysbiosis, an imbalance of good bacteria in your gut, all the little bad bacteria actually make an enzyme called beta-glucuronidase. And what this enzyme does, it actually reactivates the estrogen that is supposed to be taken out to be back into your body again. So think about this. Every single day, your body is making estrogen from what I told you earlier, ovaries, adrenal, your brain, your fat cells. And now you have this bad gut bacteria that's in there reactivating what you're supposed to clear. So as the day progresses, you're making new estrogen, not clearing out the old one because you're not pooping and not cleaning it out. And now you have estrogen dominance. That's why it's really important to support your gut health, probiotics, if you're okay with taking them. Again, always talk to your doctor first. Diet is really key. And also what you're using and putting on your skin. Because again, if the liver is going to clear out all the toxins, it's not going to do a lot for your estrogen if it has to work through all the drugs and all the things you're putting on your skin to also clear out. So there's just so much intact with the liver. So you got to do something to help it by avoiding all the toxins first.
Absolutely, absolutely. What role, because we also oftentimes also talk about mental health and how mental health also impacts hormones and everything. So what role does mental health play in sort of regulating your estrogen levels and as well as gut health?
I'm sure some of you have heard of the whole gut-brain axis. I'm sure it's a bi-directional relationship between what's happening in your gut is going to your brain, what's happening in your brain is going to your gut. So our happy hormone like serotonin, for instance, is going to be made in your gut. Most of our serotonin is going to be made in our gut. So think about like your mood, how anxious you are. These are all signals that the gut-brain axis is not going really well. So that also tells you that the food choices that I'm making is not making my body well. So think about the food you're choosing. You know, I always have to think to my patients, think about how healthy a healthy person would choose a meal and try to start emulating that because it's a learned behavior. We have to relearn how to feed ourselves, how to choose products when we go to the stores nowadays, you know? So think about the impact of food and how it's affecting your body. I like to think about this. Is it healing or hurting me? You know? So every single thing we eat is information for our cells. So what kind of information are you giving your cells? And if you're going to choose the right food, you're going to have better mental health because you're going to feed your body with the right things. So we got to make sure we're not only thinking about the gut-brain axis only one day, but all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We also often like, I mean, it's also showed in research once people, we want people to start small, but
Yes.
once they started, you know, really acting on one healthy lifestyle behavior continuously, then other things will come too. You know, if you start eating
Exactly.
healthier, you might be thinking about exercise, you
Yes.
might be thinking about using better products and
Yes.
everything.
Exactly. It's like a little trickle effect.
But I think this like personalized approach is so important. Like you mentioned before, like thinking about where people are, do they have the time to do this? Like what's their priority? What's their history? What's their current status? So, what does the session with you look like?
Oh, I always start with a discovery call, I like to call the holistic strategy consult, because I want to be able to get to know you. You want to be able to get to know me. I have people coming with lots of questions, and I want to be able to get through all of them. It's about 15 to 20 minutes. We discuss your current health history, and I like to talk about goals. What does it look like for you to be your healthiest, best self possible? That's really important for me to kind of write it down to make sure we're tackling all these goals. And then we move on a certificate fit to a 60-minute conversation to 90 minutes sometimes, just to kind of get to know you, your health history. And once that's done, I'm going to be creating the potential plan that we're going to be doing. The plan may change, it often does, but just kind of giving you a timeline as to what you expect in 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, then you don't even need me anymore. That's the goal, right? So I have always available for patients. I want them to feel like they can talk to me or reach out to me at any time. My goal is, again, once you work with me, you have the tools that you can take not only for yourself, but for your family, for your partner, your kids. So I like to just educate all the time.
Awesome. Totally aligned with
Oh,
our goal too. I think
yeah.
education is the key for people to gain knowledge so that they can act on it.
Exactly.
Your practice is in Arizona. Do you also do virtual
Yes,
consult as
I
well,
have.
seeing patient virtually?
I transitioned virtually sometimes last year. It has worked really well. I have patients travel all over the world. They can be in Italy, ask me questions. So it's been working well. I'm hoping to go back to office eventually, but right now I like the virtual. Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. You have supplement recommendations, so how do you like decide which supplement to recommend to your patients?
I like to figure out first what kind of supplements. Are they people that take pills or take liquids? I have so many options. Are they vegetarians, vegans? Are they Muslim or Jewish? So sometimes they have like bovine or pig's adrenals and things. So I pay attention to that. And I talk to them, you know, like, is this going to work for you? Sometimes supplements, replacing one medication can be a lot of supplements sometimes. So we gotta have a conversation like, hey, this is going to be that cost for that long, or let's try a drug and see if that works first. So it's a conversation. I want to make sure I'm always financially conscious, you know, too, because that's not also easy. And I like to give them a timeline. How long are we going to be on this for? This is what I'm expecting if this works for you. This is what I'm expecting if it does not work for you. The same herb I give in to 100 patients, there's that one person does not work for, and that's totally okay. But I won't know this until we try it out sometimes, you know? So it's a conversation. My patients are very open, like, it's not working for me, I want out. Like, okay, let's try something else. But we have so many like ideas and little things in our toolbox to help. So one herb for you might not work for your friend, but we'll try something else for you.
I know you have a lot of tools in your toolbox, and then one of them obviously is our favorite is the stool testing.
Yes.
And then tell us about the gut test, the lab test that you also offer, and then that you integrated into your service.
Yes, I tell my patients, if your body makes it, we can test it. Saliva, we can test. Urine, we can test. Your spit, everything, your stool test. I mentioned beta-glucuronidase earlier, which happens to be the enzyme that reacts with estrogen and makes estrogen dominance a problem. You can test that in your stool, actually, which is so cool. I love stool testing, which tell my patient, like, okay, you're taking a probiotic. Sure. This is clearly not working for you because you have low of the good bacteria in your gut. Also, people like to see what the test says. Like, I'm feeling all these symptoms. They're going to show up on the test. Most likely, you know? So I love to be able to show them this is what's happening. These are the herbs or the medication we're going to be using to help you. And this is what we expect a few months from now once you feel better. So if your body makes it, we can test it. And I know with your company, you do a lot of urine testing. So urine testing is so effective to look at the detox pathways and see how people are actually clearing things out. So I have a specific test for estrogen clearance or not clearance, and allows me to tell my patients, okay, this is really a problem. We need to find out the sources of the estrogen dominance and make sure we like avoid it so you don't have any problem anymore.
Wow, this is so wonderful. Thank you so much for what you do, and then also
Thank
like
you.
sharing all this knowledge with us. This is amazing. I think people really should like check out your services and then
Thank
also
you.
like looking to like lifestyles and then really taking a personalized approach to figure out, where they are, and then so then we can help them, because the symptom, it seems like the symptom for estrogen dominance is very, very uncomfortable.
Very comfortable. It's
Yeah.
not fun to just walk around and feel like not like yourself, especially in men. When men come to me and they have these symptoms, they just feel so down. You know, I was with doctors to begin with, so when they come in and they feel like they need to talk to me, I'm like, oh boy, let's go.
Yeah, oh boy, that's cool. And then not letting alone like not just the immediate symptom, but also the long-term potential like health impact with estrogen dominance is that then people should really think about addressing it.
For sure, indeed.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And then
Thank
thank you
you.
everyone who's joined us. Oh, and be sure to follow Dr. Daisy Anglo, and I will
Thank
have all the
you.
information in the LinkedIn bio promoting this Instagram live. So thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Have a good day, everyone.
You
Bye-bye.
too. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.